Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Paul Gant, flying solo today, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Good to be back with you talking sports and having fun doing it. Hope all of you had a good day. All you who worked and all you who did nothing, hope you all had a good day. But it's time to sit back, relax, enjoy yourself, and talk a little sports. And, of course, while talking at sports, have a little fun doing it. We're expected to be joined by USA Today columnist, sports columnist, Christine Brennan, who will talk to us about the situation with the New York Jets and women in the locker room as a whole. It's been a hot-button issue now with the latest situation and incident with the New York Jets, and we're going to talk to her about it. I mean, she's a woman who's done a lot of great things as a writer and as an author, and it should be good to get her insight, and definitely good to hear what she has to say about this issue, because right now, I mean, it's a hot-button issue, and it's a big issue. But if you look at it in a lot of ways, I mean, it's something that really doesn't go on very often. You know, the biggest incident was the Lisa Olsen incident 20 years ago, where she walked into the Patriots locker room and they were hooting and hollering and doing, you know, sexually harassing her in a lot of ways. I mean, but you really don't hear about this issue very much. Actually, you kind of don't hear it at all. And, you know, this is one of the first times in recent history that you've heard about this situation. Now, according to reports, Dennis Thurman, the secondary coach for New York Jets, was launching passes in the direction of TV Azteca Mexican reporter Inez Zines. So, and while throwing those passes, apparently he wanted the players, he was doing it to allow the players to get close to her. These are some of the reports that are coming out about this incident. And, apparently, she walked into the Jets' locker room, and while in the Jets' locker room, a lot of players were hooting and hollering and basically doing what they do a lot in some locker rooms from time to time. You know, doing what guys do from time to time when we're a bunch of guys together, hooting, hollering, and staring at her, and things of that nature. And it caused a fuss, and the NFL is investigating this incident. So, you know, as of right now, the Jets have apologized. Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, has since apologized about this incident. And you're hearing now everybody coming out, okay, you know, well, what should we do? Should there be 45 minutes or 45-minute cool-down time? Should be some kind of cool-down time between the end of the game and before the reporters go into the locker room? I mean, how should we do it? I mean, you're hearing all these different things of how and what should be done. And if you look at it, in a lot of ways, it's really not an issue because this is like I said, you don't really hear about this. So this is like the second, third time you hear something about this. So it's really not that big of an issue in a lot of ways, and it's been working this way for a long time, and it's still working in a lot of ways. I mean, in a lot of ways, some people believe that the reporter Inez Sainz kind of brought this on to herself by the way she dresses and the way she's dressed in the past. And this is the same woman, actually, during last year's Super Bowl, during media day, big day for the media at the Super Bowl, she was carried by a few Indianapolis Colts players. She was on their shoulders and they were walking. So, I mean, if you look at that, I mean, how appropriate is that as a reporter? It's a little questionable. Also, she had a strongest arm candidate contest in the previous Super Bowl there was the Cardinals against the Steelers. So two Super Bowls ago, she had a contest who had the strongest arms. And, you know, during that, she was touching the biceps and measuring the biceps of the player. So in some respect, some people may believe that maybe she's crossed the line on some level in certain instances and in certain situations. So, I mean, it's definitely a questionable situation. How I feel about it is this. Maybe there should be some cool-off time for the players. Maybe there should be an extended cool-off time for players. Or maybe there could be some kind of room set aside where reporters can go and interview the players. But I guess how realistic is that? How realistic is all these things? And, you know, NFL locker room to a lot of players is a sacred place and a place where it's their office in a lot of ways. And so, and when you're going into those locker rooms, I mean, you're interviewing guys with no shirts on, sometimes in their underwear, and you know, I mean, they just got done a football game, and they're required to interview and talk about the game. But let's be honest, at the same time, the media promotes the NFL, and the media pushes the game. So the NFL, in a lot of ways, needs the media as much as the media needs the NFL. So it's really, in a lot of ways, not an issue. It's really not an issue in a lot of ways because it doesn't happen as often. You don't hear about these incidents as often. So in a lot of ways, it's really not an issue. But if players do have a problem and if a bunch of players do come out and talk about their issues about this, then maybe they could come up with something. But at the same time, it's really not an issue. It's really not an issue. But, I mean, you hear all the time that maybe there should be some time for me to cool down and relax before I'm bombarded with a bunch of people coming in into my locker room and talking to me. Maybe I should be allotted that time. Maybe. I mean, you hear that's kind of what you hear from players and from time to time. But at the end of the day, if you look at this thing, I just think right now it's just not much of an issue. It's not much of an issue. But people are coming out now, and since this story has gotten some press and gotten some people's attention, people are coming out now and talking about it. But it should be interesting a reporter like Christine Brennan, who's been in locker rooms and who's been around the block a few times, should be interested to get her insight on this and how she feels about it. But like I said, it's not something that happens often. So at the end of the day, it's just really not that much of an issue. So we're going to get her thoughts on that. And also the big talk in the NFL, Cobb or Vic. And it's the big talk in Philadelphia, but it's also the big talk around the league. And, again, you know, the way I see it is if Kevin Cobb's healthy, you got to throw him out there. You have to throw him out there because, A, you traded your franchise quarterback in Donovan McNabb to basically give the keys to Kevin Cobb. So you give Kevin Cobb the keys to your franchise. And so in giving him the keys, you got to see what this guy has. Otherwise, you were better off just keeping McNabb. So you have to see what this guy has. Now, if you tell me today that Mike Vick would make this team a Super Bowl team, or a Super Bowl contender for that matter, because this team is not a Super Bowl contender. I think their ceiling is eight wins at the most. This team is not a Super Bowl contender. So if you can sit here and tell me today that Mike Vick will make this team a Super Bowl contender, then I would say to you, that Mike Vick should be the starting quarterback. But since you can't say that, since no one can say that Mike Vick would make this team a Super Bowl champion, then I just, the way I see it is, I just see that you got to go with Cobb. If Cobb's healthy, you got to give him a chance to show what he can do. And right now he's basically had 2.5 starts. 2.5 starts. So, I mean, and he had 200-300-yard performances in his first 2 starts. And in his last start, it was only half, but he was suspect. He was shaky. He was all those things. He definitely was all that. But you got to let this thing play out. He's a young quarterback. You got to let him play out, and you got to let him figure this thing out. But you want him to figure this thing out. You want him to make some plays, but at the end of the day, if you can sit here and tell me that starting Mike Vick full-time will get this team to the Super Bowl, then I'm on board with it. But you can't tell me that. No one can tell you that. No one can sit here today and tell you that bringing in Mike Vick and making him the starter will get you to the Super Bowl. Nobody can say that. So you got to see what you have in Kevin Cobb. He may not have nothing there. He may have nothing there. But you have to see what you got there. You have to. In a lot of ways, you know what you have in Mike Vick. Maybe this is a more mature version of Mike Vick who's willing to stand in that pocket and get the ball out there. And you saw a lot. I mean, Mike Vick, he played well. He played well. It looked like the old Mike Vick. But again, will the old Mike Vick, or would the old Mike Vick be enough to get you to the Super Bowl? And if you can't say without a shadow of a doubt that that bringing Mike Vick in the game and putting Mike Vick as a starter will get you to the Super Bowl, then I don't think the move should be made. I really don't. But we're expected to be joined by Christine Brennan from USA Today, sports columnist, who will talk about women in the locker room, and it should be great to hear her insight. And the numbers to call the show, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. Or you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. Vic, Cobb, who do you like? Who should be your starter? And women in the locker room, how do you feel about it? What's your thoughts on it? So we want to definitely hear your thoughts on that. Are you for it? Are you against it? How should it be done? So it should be interesting to hear your insight and Christine Brennan's insight on this particular topic. It's for the Philadelphia Phillies. That's the Philadelphia Phillies are in first place now. 2.5 games up on the Atlanta Braves, and they're actually winning tonight against the Florida Marlins, actually. And actually, they're up 9-2, so they have a big lead. And it looks like after tonight, they have Roy Halladay on the mound, so it looks like after tonight, the Phillies may be three games. Can you believe it? 3 games up on the Braves in first place in the NL East. And you would never have thought that would have happened, say, in July, say, in June. You never thought that would happen. But this team has gotten healthy. This team has gotten solid pitching from their big three. The big three of Roy Oswalt, Roy Halladay, and Cole Hamels. I mean, these guys have really, really done big things for the Phillies and have pretty much put this team in first place. I mean, the Oswalt acquisition was a great acquisition, and it's put this team in prime position. And many believe, and it's starting to look like, that this team may go back to the World Series for the third time in a row. I mean, and that's possible. It's very possible. It's very possible. And if you're a baseball fan, I mean, obviously you have in the NL, I mean, if you look at the NL, it's not very competitive. It's always competitive, but if you look at it, you have to say with the big three of Hamels, Holiday, and Oswalt that the Phillies are the team to beat in the National League and maybe the team to beat in baseball. We are now joined by USA Today sports columnist, Christine Brennan. Christine, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Now, Christine, let's get your initial reaction when you heard the story about the Mexican reporter, Inez Sainz, and the New York Jets in this whole situation. What was your initial reaction?
Well, Paul, I was surprised, first of all, because the thought that there was an incident involving a woman reporter and a locker room. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is this the 1980s? Is this the 1970s? I mean, I just couldn't believe it because it's 2010 and there are over 1,000 women covering sports in this country going into locker rooms every day and everything's fine. So it was more surprised that there could be some kind of incident and kind of shocked that we would be even be talking about this kind of thing when women are such a part of the sports media landscape now. So that was it. First of all, just surprise and some shock.
Now, this particular story, you don't hear about it very often. In a lot of ways, it's just the exception to the rule.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's an important point to make for people that a bit of perspective maybe. I've been doing this for 29 years. I've been in hundreds and hundreds of locker rooms. I've never had anything like this happen to me. I mean, yes, are there moments when a player gets angry for male or female reporters? Are there moments when a guy might say, hey, come on over here, you know, and I walk away, I wave my hand, hey, good to see you, you know. Sure, I mean, there's potentials, but this sounds bad. Cat calls and whoops and hollers and footballs being thrown near her or at her, that's certainly outside the norm. And yes, it's important to remember that even last weekend when this occurred, it's Saturday at the Jets practice, as you know, certainly over the weekend, there were dozens of women reporters, and of course many men too, going into Major League Baseball locker rooms, college football, covering pro football in locker rooms there, and there were no incidents at all, except for this one. I'm not demeaning this one, but what I'm saying is it's important to realize that we don't have to talk about should women be in locker rooms because everything's going just fine. It's a law. It's a right to be there. End of conversation. And this is the reason we're talking about the Jets situation and the workplace harassment, Paul. The reason we're talking about it is because it is so unusual.
Right. Now, you have Clinton Portis coming out with his comments yesterday. And let me just read them real quickly. He just said, I mean, you put a woman and give her a choice of 53 athletes, somebody's got to be appealing to her. You know, somebody's got to spark her interest or she's going to want somebody. I don't know what kind of woman won't if you get to go and look at 53 men's packages. It's just, what's your initial thoughts when you heard those comments by Clinton Portis?
I thought, you know, well, there's a ridiculous comment. Clinton Portis, I don't know Clinton Portis. I covered the Redskins in the 80s when they actually won Super Bowl, so I don't know this Redskin team at all. And but I've got to say that he has no clue about what's going through the minds of a vast number, if not all, women sports journalists. I know by mentoring and being colleagues with and being friends with and working together with women sports journalists, I know hundreds of women in the sports media. They are professional. They are hardworking. Many are married or have a boyfriend. They're not looking for a date. They're not looking at players, as Clinton Portis misguidedly thinks they are, in his own bizarre mind. These women are there to do their job as the men are. And the NFL has made that crystal clear since Clinton made those remarks yesterday.
Now, just look at it on just percentages. I mean, you do have 53 players in the locker room, and you have a few women reporters coming in there. Could there be any iota of truth to what he is saying, any whatsoever, just percentage-wise?
Well, I guess it's possible there could be this iota of a possibility with male reporters, too, couldn't there?
True.
We're talking,
very true.
Right?
Very true.
I have no idea, but if since we're asking these kind of hypothetical, bizarre questions, which that's fine. I mean, I have no problem. Can you imagine if someone stood up in an insurance office, a man, and said to a colleague or to a woman, you know, male or female colleague, whatever, hey, there's 53 of us here, male insurance agents, and I know some of the women in this room, would be interested in looking at us or would like to date us or whatever. That guy loses his job, right?
Right.
So
right.
That's, I think, right. This is a workplace. This is no joke. I mean, that's what the NFL has made clear, thankfully. That's why the Jets are in such trouble. And I don't mean to be being too dismissive of what you're saying, but I guess I am from the standpoint of this is a workplace. And I think that's against the law to talk that way. It certainly would be against
right.
probably most of the rules. So the fact that Clinton Portis is a football player, I don't care. We're talking about my career and the career of hundreds and hundreds of women who are doing their jobs properly. What a demeaning, ridiculous comment to make because he's assuming we're there for something other than to work. And I think that's
right.
probably the crux of the issue.
Now, Christina, Sines was stated in an interview on Good Morning America that her outfits, which some deem a little questionable, is just her style. Do you think her outfits are appropriate for the locker room, for that particular workplace?
You know, I'm not going to pass judgment on her or anybody else. I'll tell you that I tend to dress conservatively. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I'm a Big Ten person from Northwestern, so that's my background, and even though I'm in Washington, D.C. now and used to be at the Washington Post, now USA Today, I'm still very much a Midwesterner in that sense. And so I have always dressed conservatively going into locker rooms. I've always dressed with suits as best I can or jackets, pants, or not short skirts by any means. That's just my way. But I'm also aware of a generational change. I get it. And I know that kids in high school today or college wear clothes that are very different from what I would have worn what I wore when I was in high school or college. So some things have changed. I mean, we used to have a dress code, you know, when I was in high school. And I remember going on plane trips with my family, airline trips, and we would dress up as if we were going to church to go on a plane. So things are different. I'm not skirting your question. I'm not avoiding it. But I do think that it's not my place to tell her how to dress, especially when we have a very serious issue on the table, and that is, did the New York Jets harass a reporter who they credentialed for their workplace, i.e. the locker room and the practice field? When that issue is resolved, then if we all want to talk about people's clothing, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to take my eye off the ball of this very serious issue of the harassment of a journalist, in this case a reporter, credentialed by the team, in this case a woman, by the team that credentialed her. I mean, that to me is a workplace issue. I think anyone can relate to that. And even though the football field and a practice field and a locker room, Paul, might seem like a strange workplace, it is a workplace nonetheless. And that's why I don't really want to talk about her clothes until this other or any, at all, but it's, certainly until it's resolved, because the issue at hand is a very serious issue about what the Jets did or didn't do involving her.
Now, how do you feel the league should resolve this issue?
I think there should be fines or suspension. I'll leave that to the league to figure out how to handle that, but there should be significant penalties. I absolutely believe that. For whoever they find to have been involved. And, you know, the word is that Rex Ryan, reporters did report that Rex Ryan was one of the people throwing a pass to towards Inez Stein's, towards where she was standing. If Rex Ryan excuse me, the head coach of the Jets, Rex Ryan, if he was involved in this, that's unbelievable. I mean, I would never excuse a football player who's making millions who knows what the guidelines are and who grew up with girls playing sports around him and grew up with women covering the team and, you know, all over the place. I wouldn't excuse a player. But to think a coach could have been involved, including the head coach, and the assistant coach also was involved probably. But if Rex Ryan was involved, I think that's absolutely reprehensible. So I think that I hope there would be fines or suspensions, including for him.
Now, what would you say? What do you say to a player who may feel violated, having to do an interview, possibly with their shirt off, in the particular locker room after the game?
Yes,
do they have a right to feel violated on some level? Not to say that they are. A lot of them are. But do they have a right to feel violated?
They have every opportunity to take their clothes off the hook, as Wayne Gretzky used to do and as other players have done over the years, Michael Jordan as well. Leave the locker room, get dressed, or even put their stuff in another room, get dressed and come back to their locker to meet the media fully clothed. That's been done by players forever. They can do that if they want. And I think one of the things that a lot of people might not understand, but players have said it even this week, I've been interviewed about it, they don't mind reporters in the locker room, male or female. They don't care. Frankly, we're doing them a service by actually coming to their lockers and getting the interviews out of the way so they can get out of there faster to get to their families or friends outside the locker room. The last thing they would want to do is go find us in an interview room. First of all, a lot of stadiums wouldn't have the space to accommodate two interview rooms for all the players and all the media. That's a lot of space. And so just logistically, it's very hard to come up with an interview room for both teams in a lot of stadiums. And we're talking NFL, we're also talking Major League Baseball. That would get difficult. Much more important than that is players won't come. If a guy fumbles, he's not going to come and want to find me and talk to me about it. He's going to want to leave out the side door. And just as some listeners are probably saying, well, that's his right, well, if you are a fan of that team, if you might have fantasy football or other things going on with that team, don't you want to hear from him? Isn't the millions and millions of dollars that guy is making, doesn't he owe it to you, you buy the season tickets, you buy the jerseys, to your kids, to you, to hear what he had to say? And if we have an interview room, I guarantee you he's probably going, unless he's a class act, he's going out the other door and we'll never hear from him. So we go to the lockers to make it easy for them. They like it. The system has been working for 25 years in the NFL, 1985, and it does anger me a little bit, or perplex me maybe is a better word, that here we are, because of this incident, we've got people coming out of the woodwork saying ridiculous things about locker rooms when everything is just fine, and the reason we're talking about it is because of this incredible rare occurrence of this particular instance with the Jets when every day women are in locker rooms and it's going along just fine.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was saying earlier in the show. In a lot of ways, it's an issue, but at the end of the day, it's really not an issue because it hasn't happened that often.
Exactly.
It really hasn't.
That's why I'm hoping this dies down quickly. It's like a thunderstorm that comes over, passes, and leaves, because we've got women who do their jobs every day, men who do their jobs every day, no problem, no worries. For all these people to come out of the woodwork, come out of the woodwork and say, women shouldn't be in the locker room. Well, that's ridiculous. That's like saying women shouldn't vote. I mean, that's absurd. We're in the locker room, done deal, for the same kind of issues about having interview rooms. That's ridiculous. The players don't want it. The coaches don't want it. The system works. It works just fine. And we shouldn't take one incident and start reinventing the wheel. We don't need to do that. Everything's working just fine. And this incident needs to be resolved. Because if, in fact, it's true that Jets did bad things, they need to be punished, and that will take care of that.
Talking to Christine Brennan, USA Today sports columnist. Now, Christine, what would you say to those who say, okay, let's just say it was the other way around. Let's say it was a male reporter going into a woman's locker room. Should the same rules apply?
Yeah, if the male reporter is credentialed, keep in mind, of course, the Jets credentialed, I know, Saints. They gave her a credential, obviously. Otherwise, she couldn't have been there, right? I mean, I think everyone knows that.
Right.
She's credentialed to be there. The Jets can pick and choose who they credential. They gave her a credential. So now let's reverse it. You're saying a man is dressed in a Speedo or something?
Well, I'm just saying just dressed regularly, but going into a locker room filled with women. Just say 53 women in the locker room getting drafted.
That happens all the time. That happens. Oh, my goodness. Equal access for male reporters in women's locker rooms is absolutely essential. It is something if there was a problem, I would stand outside with the man until he went in, because so many men stood outside with me when I was trying to wait to get into men's locker rooms when I first started covering the NFL back in the early 80s. Oh, absolutely. Equal access for male reporters and female reporters. Men go into women's locker rooms in the WNBA. Men go into women's locker rooms with the Women's Final Four. Men were in the women's locker room throughout the 1999 Women's World Cup, the great World Cup with Brandi Chastain, Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy, all those guys. Male reporters were in that locker room every day because I was in there and I saw them in there. So, absolutely, men go into women's locker rooms. You didn't know that?
No, I knew that. I was just asking to pretty much just to flip it around and put it pretty much in the corner, the court of a man going into a women's locker room and hurt, and the athletes having to get dressed. I knew that. I definitely knew that.
Yeah.
I was just trying to.
Well, it happens. It works just fine, obviously. I mean, I think, you know, I think women might not get, you know, they might wait. I think, you know, a lot of players over the years, they start talking and they don't actually, you know, get a chance to start taking off their shoes and socks until after the reporters leave. Most women athletes, I think, you know, are very classy, and they may not want to undress in front of reporters or cameras. But the point is, that's their right. But, yes, equal access. I emailed, just to confirm, I emailed the WNBA today, and absolutely yes. Men are in WNBA locker rooms, equal access completely with female reporters.
And it kind of goes to your point, because you haven't heard anything about a man in a women's locker room or any issue with that. So in a lot of ways, that kind of goes to what you just said and to your point.
Yeah, everything's going just – the bottom line, folks, everything's going along just fine. This was an aberration, and it's terrible, and that's why we're discussing it, and that's why it needs to be resolved. It would be the equivalent of you drive your car, and everything's fine, and then one day that you have a fender bender at a stop sign. Well, that happened, so now you're focusing on that or whatever, but that doesn't mean you're not going to drive your car. So this would be an incident that occurred, and obviously it doesn't change the fact that you'd still drive your car. So in this case, we still go into locker rooms. Women go into men's locker rooms. Men go into women's locker rooms. It is the perfect, best way to handle it. Equal access. It's under the law. It's a legal thing. And it's a done deal. So we can move on because we don't discuss it. You know, we don't need to discuss it anymore.
And basically, we can basically put a bow on and say that at the end of the day, it's really not an issue.
I absolutely agree with that statement, for sure.
Now, you have a book out, Best Seat in the House. Talk a little bit about your book.
Well, thanks. It's my story of my dad and our family and growing up in sports. I didn't have Title IX helping me too much. I was in high school going into high school when it was signed by Richard Nixon in June of 1972. But I did have my own personal Title IX in my dad, and I couldn't wait to play baseball and play catch with him when he'd come home from work, and got me my first mitt for my birthday, and we were off and running and then going to sporting events, and Toledo Mudhens baseball, Toledo Rockets football, Michigan football, Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox. We headed to Chicago to visit our grandparents, and so, yeah, absolutely. Sports was a huge part of my life, and my dad, I was so fortunate to have a father who was well ahead of his time, encouraging me to love and play sports, and that, of course, led to this wonderful career that I've been so fortunate to have.
Now, Christine, where can people go to get the book?
That's a good question. I think it's still on Amazon.com, but if there's any trouble, if anyone would like to get it, they can email me at ChristineBrennan.com. That's my website. It would just be Christine@ChristineBrennan.com, or just go to ChristineBrennan.com and click on email me or contact me, I think it says. And you can also read all my columns there. And Twitter is C. Brennan Sports, and Facebook also C. Brennan Sports. So any number of ways to reach me if anyone would like to ask me about getting the book, we can arrange to get one signed and mailed to them and all of that too. So happy to help out individually. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, that would be my pleasure and an honor to do that.
Christine, we thank you for stopping by. We definitely appreciate your insight, and you've definitely been doing this for a long time, and we definitely appreciate your insight on this particular subject.
Paul, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much. And I do appreciate your questions, and I know you're asking what a lot of people are asking, which then gives us an opportunity to kind of talk this through and hopefully give a sense of perspective to everybody, and things will be fine, and I appreciate it again. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, and nothing but the best for you in the future.
You too, Paul. Look forward to talking to you again sometime. Thanks.
Take care. Christine Brennan, USA Today, sports writer. She gave her insight on this issue with women reporters in the locker room. Very interesting take and very insightful. I mean, again, she's been doing this for a long, long time, and she's well-respected in journalism. So it was good to have her on and good to talk about this particular issue. And if you have some comments on this issue and what you just heard, the numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. And just like Christine said, and just like I said earlier in the show, in a lot of ways, this is not an issue. But in some ways, it is an issue because, like she said, it doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often. And since it doesn't happen very often, this is why it became an issue. And so, and I think she put a bow on this in a lot of ways. At the end of the day, the system has worked. The system has worked. And in a lot of ways, there should be no reason to change it. The system has worked. The system has been in place for many, many years. And things that you haven't heard about situations like this in a long, long time. So, like I said, the situation and it has brought light to this and has brought this back up and brought it back to our minds. But in a lot of ways, this issue is sort of and basically a dead issue in a lot of ways because it doesn't happen too often. Also, Mike Vick, Kevin Cobb, who do you think should be the starter? Who should be the starter of the Philadelphia Eagles? More than likely, Kevin Cobb will not be playing on Sunday. Apparently, he failed his drills today. They were testing for his concussion, and he failed his concussion test today. So, but they said he was a lot better than he was on Monday. They definitely said he's a lot better than he was on Monday, but he did fail them. And the next time he's scheduled to practice is Friday, and as of right now, Michael Vick is getting all the snaps with the first team. So it's looking more and more likely that Michael Vick will be the starter come Sunday against the Detroit Lions. And for some believe that's not necessarily a bad thing because Michael Vick, he had a great game, a great half. Very good half. I won't say great because they didn't win the game. He had a very good half. I mean, 16 for 24, 175 yards. Rushed for another 100 yards. And so Michael Vick had a great game, a good half. I keep saying great, a good half. Michael Vick had a very good second half. But it's not a full game, and it's not great because Michael Vick didn't win, and the Eagles did not win the game. So you look back on it, and you say, and many believe that Michael Vick should be the starter. And Michael Vick, for one thing, when Michael Vick comes in the game, it's exciting. Let's be honest, he's fast. The guy has got his speed back. He's back. And in terms of speed, it looks like he's back. He's gotten that speed back. He's gotten that burst. He's gotten that quickness. He's gotten it all back. And the way he was flicking that ball around on Sunday, it definitely got you a little excited and made you harken back to the day when Michael Vick was doing big things in Atlanta and leading the Atlanta Falcons to the playoffs and where Michael Vick was all over posters and magazines and everything. It just brought you back to that particular day and age. And Michael Vick's exciting, man. There's no question that this guy is very, very, very exciting. And when you look at the man, I mean, he had a great game. Good game. Good game. He had a very good game. Can't say great because they lost. And he brought his team back from the dead in a lot of ways. The team was dead. The team was definitely dead before Michael Vick stepped into the game. The team was dead. So you look at it, and without Michael Vick, obviously, in that game on Sunday, it was looking like it was going to be a blowout. It really looked like it was going to be a blowout. But he came out, and, you know, some will say, okay, the Packers played a little soft on defense. And some will say that maybe the Packers didn't truly game plan for Michael Vick. And so that was one of the reasons, or those are the reasons why he was so effective on Sunday. Well, I mean, I say to that, no. I mean, give the guy credit. Give the guy credit. Because if he would have came in there and he would have stunk the joint up, everybody would have been on his case. But he came in there, man, and he showed the world and proved, at least to me, and proved to a lot of other people that this guy still can get it done on some level. He's proven that he can get it done on some level. Now, the level, I think you may have a better idea against Detroit this Sunday. Because more than likely, he's probably going to start on Sunday, especially with all the issues that the Eagles are having with the concussions. And you had the situation where, I mean, Stuart Bradley was on Queer Street. You know, it looked like he was like Trevor Burbick against Mike Tyson. I mean, he was just, he couldn't keep himself up, and he was just falling and couldn't keep himself up. So he was on Queer Street. So he came back. He came back into the game. He came back into the game. And, you know, I mean, especially now with the NFL and the league coming down hard on concussions, and you were surprised that, you're really surprised that they let him back into that game in that situation. You're really surprised because concussions are a big thing now, and the league is really coming down hard on them and really trying to do things to limit concussions in general and stop them from coming back to the player and stop the player from having issues with concussions. I mean, so you're surprised when you see a guy who, you know, is definitely on Queer Street. Definitely on Queer Street. Definitely a guy who can't even keep his feet, can't keep his balance, can't keep nothing. You know that this guy has a concussion. And you know that this guy probably should not be put back into the football game. You know that. You know that. So, and hearing all that and seeing all that, I mean, I would say it really doesn't take much. You don't need to be a doctor to realize that Stuart Bradley had a concussion and that he was not all right. Kevin Cobb, different story. You know, I mean, you can see why maybe he got put back into the football game. But Stuart Bradley, I mean, that was kind of obvious. And that situation was kind of obvious. And there was no reason why. There's no reason that he should have been put back into the game. No reason whatsoever. But it was, and he also failed his test, his concussion test today. So both of those players failed their test, and looks like both of those players will be out Sunday for the Philadelphia Eagles. And also, in terms of the NFL, man, this past week, a lot of injuries, a lot of season, a lot of big-time injuries to a lot of big-time players. I mean, you start with the Eagles, you had Leonard Weaver, all-pro fullback, out for the year, torn ACL. You have Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle for the Jets, torn ACL, out for the year. You have Jamal Jackson, torn tricep, out for the year. You have Bob Sanders, safety for the Indianapolis Colts, torn bicep, out for the year. So you have a lot of guys that Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Detroit Lions. He's out for a few weeks with shoulder injuries. So if you look at this, you say to yourself, is this league really serious about going to 18 games? Is this league really serious about thinking about going to 18 games? I mean, by the time you get to the game, to the end of the season, I mean, it just, it'll come down to who, which team has the best backups at that point. Because if you look at the whole situation, if you look at it, there's no way that, I mean, 18 games, that's a long, 16 games is long enough. And you're talking 18 now? We have 16, including four preseason games, so that makes it 20 games. Obviously, if they go to an 18-game schedule, it's probably going to be two preseason games. But again, I mean, that limits the time you get to look at guys and see what guys can do. That preseason, I mean, you look at game four of the preseason. Game four of the preseason is all about pretty much the young guys. I mean, no starters playing game four of the preseason. So game four of the preseason is usually about the young guys. So you're talking about, okay, limiting that, and it may lead to just a poor brand of football because there's not going to be enough time for guys to get acclimated and get ready for the season. There's not going to be enough practice time. I mean, you're talking about week one and week two essentially being a preseason for some of these teams just to get themselves right for the upcoming season. So any talk of 18 games, to me, is just not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. Like I said, I mean, I just went down a list of guys who are done for the year. Guys are done for the year. And you're talking, I mean, at some point, how do you field a team? How do you field a team when you have guys going down? I mean, it's going to be crazy if they go to 18 games. But I think it'll happen. I'm more than positive that it will happen because this is another opportunity for money. And at the end of the day, it comes down to money. And by having two more games, more opportunity for money, more opportunity to get more TV money. And so with all that being said, you would think, hey, doesn't the NFL make enough money? But if they can make more, they're going to find a way to make more. In making more, though, I still believe that you dilute the product and you hurt the game, you hurt the product. But will the NFL suffer in terms of revenue and in terms of money? Probably not. I mean, the NFL is big. You got fantasy football, which is a big-time industry. You have people who do suicide pools. You have all the office pools. I mean, you have neighborhood pools. I mean, you have all these different things with the NFL in terms of gambling. And so you have all these opportunities for the NFL to make money. And this thing is about making money. It's about entertainment, but ultimately it's about making money. And so you see all these situations and all these instances of the league making money from all these things. But they want to find a way to make more money and more money and more money. And adding a couple games to the season will allow them to make more and more money. But at what cost? Cost to the player? I mean, this is a brutal game. Football is a very violent and brutal game. And each and every week, every play could be your last play. It could be your last play. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, tomorrow's not promised in this league. So, if you look at that and you say to yourself, with all these injuries, you say to the league, are you serious? Are you serious when you want to go to an 18-game schedule? Are you really serious? because there is no way that guys would make it through that season. There's no way. There's no way they'll make it through that season. You're going to have a lot of guys. You're going to have a lot of backup quarterbacks, a lot of backup players in general. And we don't go to football games to see backups. We go to see Tom Brady, not his backup. We go to see Peyton Manning, not his backup. We don't go to see backups. We go to see the player. We go to see a Tom Brady. We go to see a Randy Moss. We go to see a Peyton Manning. We go to see all those guys. That's who we go to see. And so, if you go to 18 games, you're not going to be seeing that. You're not going to be seeing that. You're not. You're just not. So anybody that is a proponent of 18 games and want to see the league go to 18 games, well, guess what? You're not going to be seeing your big-time guys. You're not going to be seeing them. Because they may not make it. They may not make it through a season. They may not make it. So it's a tough situation when you see guys go down and, you know, guys possibly not being able to play the game that they love, and especially a guy like Leonard Weaver who went down, very bad injury, and torn ACL, and it's not looking good. He's late in his career, so that could be a career-ending injury. And ACL is a major injury, a big-time injury, and a lot of people say it's a two-year injury. It takes 2 years to fully come back from it. It takes you 2 years to fully come back from a torn ACL. But if you look at it, you're saying to yourself, 18 games. There's no way this team, that the league and these players could get through an 18-game schedule. 16 is long enough. Now you want 18? 18? Wow. So all you can say is wow. All you can say is, wow, no way that can happen, or no way that guys will make it through. Now, me and my co-host, my usual co-host, Jeremy Espy, we had a bet about who would have the better year, Kevin Cobb or Donovan McNabb. And, I chose my boy McNabb, for obvious reason. I chose my boy McNabb for obvious reason.
Everybody, say McNabb.
Yeah, I got a song about it and everything. But I watched the Redskins and the Cowboys this weekend. I got to be honest, McNabb was not sharp at all in that game. Not one of his better games at all. I mean, he was very fortunate that D'Angelo Hall was a bonehead play by the Cowboys near the end of the first half, with Shard Choice fumbled a short pass from Tony Romo, and D'Angelo Hall took it back the other way for the touchdown. And, you know, that was the only touchdown that the Redskins scored. But if you look at McNabb's stats, 15 for 32, 171 yards passing. Not great by any stretch of the imagination. Not great at all. So if you look at that and that situation, your hope as a Redskins fan that, A, that defense continues to play that the way that it played this past Sunday, and then that, B, that ultimately Donovan McNabb will get back on track. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you got to be a little nervous. I mean, you only score one touchdown. Your first-team offense scored one touchdown in the whole preseason. That's five games. Those teams play four. The Cowboys play five. So five preseason games and only one touchdown for your first team offense. And you only scored one touchdown this past week. You got to be a little concerned about that. Wade Phillips and those boys and Jason Garrett, who was supposed to be the next hot shot coach, he's offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. If you look at that, that situation with those two teams, I mean, with the Cowboys, excuse me, you got to say to yourself that this got to get turned around, or heads, Jerry Jones is not going to have that, and these guys are not going to stick around. They're definitely not going to stick around if they can't get the job done. And if you look at the Cowboys this week, they looked awful. They looked awful. They really did. They didn't play their best brand of football. So if you're Dallas right now, you got to be a little concerned. And everybody's talking. You heard it in the offseason. And I heard Bill Moss actually said on his show that one of the reasons that the Cowboys or everybody's talking about the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl is because the Cowboys have the most fans. And after all, they are America's team, as people like to call them. They are America's team. So everybody likes to talk about the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones and those boys, they wanted to have the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl will be in Dallas this year. So why not have the Cowboys go there and play in the Super Bowl? It would be great. But Dallas didn't look good week one. They didn't look good. They got to get that offense straightened out. And if they don't, heads will definitely roll, and guys definitely will lose jobs. So if you're a Cowboy fan, which I'm not, and I get a little pleasure from what I saw on Sunday. I got a little pleasure from what I saw on Sunday. So I'm not a Cowboys fan, and I got some pleasure from what I saw on Sunday. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So if you're a Cowboy fan, you might be a little nervous. And granted, it's only week one, and the NFL is a week-to-week league. Heck, I had the Cincinnati Bengals winning and going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. After week one, I mean, they were down 31-3 at one point against the Patriots. Ultimately, they lost 38-24. But they weren't competitive this past week. But again, it's a week-to-week league. It's a week-to-week league, and you can't take much from game one of the NFL season. You just got to throw it away and say you got 15 more left and move on. And I think that's what a lot of these teams will do, including the Cincinnati Bengals, who are my pick to not only go to the Super Bowl, but my pick to win the Super Bowl. And I see them winning the Super Bowl. I really do. And I think they'll get it done. I think they'll turn this thing around. And it's all, like I said, it's only week one. Got a long, long way to go. Long way to go. So, exciting time, NFL, maybe the most wonderful time of the year. Again, if you listen to the show, I disagree. The NBA playoffs, the most wonderful time of the year. But many people believe that the NFL is the most wonderful time of the year. And this is a great time. You got college football going on. You got the NFL going on. Training camp's about to start in the NBA. So a lot of things going on. You got the baseball season headed to October, pennant races. It's a great time of the year to be a sports fan. Great time of the year to be a sports fan. So it's great. Football is king right now. And let's be honest, it has supplanted baseball as America's game. Definitely America's game. The NFL is definitely king, and they're raking in the dough, big time, baby, raking in the dough. We want to thank Christine Brennan from the USA Today sports columnist for stopping by and giving her insight and her thoughts on the issue with the women in the locker room. It was good to get her perspective. She had a unique perspective because she's been there, and she's a person who's done very well for her career and a person who's very respected. So it was good to get her thoughts and her insight on the story. And again, for those people who missed it, Eagles, stay with Kevin Cobb. You know what you have in Mike Vick. You know you're not going to go to the Super Bowl. You might as well see what you have there in Kevin Cobb. You may have something, and you may not, but you got to see it. The only way you can see it is by having him play. So you can listen to past shows at blogtalkradio.com/pegan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pegan. Well, thank everybody for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at GoForIt Dan. You can follow me on Twitter at GoForIt. Dan. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForIt. Dan. See you later.